Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And you're on Joy 94.9. It's a beautiful Monday afternoon, and you're with Been There, Done That with Gordon,
Paul, and Phil.
And Phil, yes, we're here again. We've got Paul today because David is away doing jury duty. So,
and Chris is still away on vacation.
Chris is still floating around over in the UK or somewhere, isn't he? Yeah. And
this is the latest I've ever been on, isn't it?
Yes, normally you're here on Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock. Yes, yeah. So there we go. And we've got a great program lined up for you. We've got all sorts of bits and pieces of news and things that have happened in the history that have affected us as we live today. But we've got to start off with this week being Mental Health Week, Paul.
Yes, it is. And, of course, it's being featured a lot on the ABC too, which is good.
Which is good, yeah. Yep. And they feature all the numbers that you should be contacting if you need, like Lifeline or any of those things. The numbers are always there on the television. We don't have them here at the moment, but they're there.
And it highlights historically, you know, people with mental health problems, of course, quite often they were executed in some societies put into asylums.
Yeah, they were incarcerated, so you never saw them. That's why you didn't know that they were there.
Yeah.
And it's also another one, it's also Seniors Week this week as well. So
yes.
You probably had your free tram ride in, and I had my free train ride.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So that was rather good.
I paid for my train ride.
Oh, did you? Oh, well, you're not a senior, you see.
I don't seem to fit into any categories.
You don't?
I'm not old enough for half the stuff and too old for the rest.
Oh, right.
So I've slipped between the cracks.
Oh, dear. Never mind. And, of course, coming up on this Saturday, on the 10th of October, is the Big Northside Bazaar.
How bizarre.
Yes, how bizarre. Yeah. And that's at the Laird Hotel, and it starts at 2 o'clock next Saturday afternoon. And they're taking over the street. I think it's Henry Street is right next door to the Laird. And then there's a...
Runs down beside it.
Yeah, that's run beside it. Then there's a little hall. There's a hallway across the road from it, and they're going to take over that as well. So it's going to be a huge...
I hear it's the one day a year that the girls can go.
And the women can go in there. The girls can go in there, yes, because it's open to everybody, because it normally is a men-only venue. But the women are allowed to go in there this Saturday afternoon. So get down there, ladies.
And see it when it's at its quiet stage.
Yes. But it's lots of fun. I worked down there for quite a while. Couple of years ago, barbecuing or cooking sausages, I think it's sausages and onions.
Well, I can remember that pub way back in the 50s and 60s when it was called the Laird of Cockpen.
That's right.
And it used to be a favourite spot for Collingwood supporters after the match to go and mostly cheer and yell, because mostly we used to win at Victoria Park.
Well, everybody always won at Victoria Park. Only place I've ever parked my car and had it damaged was outside the Collingwood football ground.
It was probably one of the visitors.
Yes. Anyhow, the Laird has been there for a long, long time. It's a great little pub too. So get on down there and have a great time at the Northside Bazaar.
Have a sausage.
They've got some great stuff. They're auctioning. One of our newsreaders here, Andy, is an artist.
Oh, I thought we were going to sell Andy.
No, we're not going to sell Andy. And he's been painting a great work of art, and with the help of some of the volunteers here, and that's going to be up for auction as well. And the year I was down there, his painting raised a huge amount of money. It was just amazing.
And of course, this week on the 8th is Lesbian Day as well.
That's right, Lesbian Day on the 8th. So that actually started, I think it was in New Zealand, Paul, was it? I think I remember reading somewhere about that. New Zealand in 1980, they held a Lesbian Day march. It was first celebrated in 1980, so it looks like the New Zealanders may have been ahead of the world again.
Yes.
Because they were the first to give the women the vote.
What about on the Isle of Lesbos? They marched there. They'd be marching lesbians.
Yeah, well, they would be lesbians. Yeah, the men could march there and still be called lesbians.
That's right. You can all get in.
Yes.
But we might stop for some music, I think. We're making way too much sense.
Okay, all right. Have some music.
Well, an odd name of this song is incredible. So we've been arguing as to whether that's a good or a bad name for
a
something
song.
That is.
Because it should be
credible.
Rather credible rather than incredible.
Yeah, because I'll believe it.
We'll see what it sounds like.
Joy 94.9. And you are on Joy 94.9 with Been There, Done That with Philip, Paul and Gordon. Yes, PPG.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to say two P's and a G, but
two P's and a G.
Don't know what that means.
Right. Now, we had a message. Somebody sent us in a message very early. Very important to celebrate mental health, especially amongst the GLBTI youth this week. Let's be open about mental health. Stay healthy. What are the issues amongst older gay men? There's quite a few issues amongst older gay men because we know a lot of older gay men, don't we, Paul?
Yes.
And things like depression and anxiety don't care how old you are.
No, they don't. They certainly don't. No, you can be very young and have depression. People are basically born with depression sometimes. It's just a mental condition that's very, very hard to get rid of if you've got it.
Mm.
Very hard. So it's mental health is a very important thing. It's as important as pure physical health, of course, because without your mental abilities, you can't do anything else.
That's right.
Okay. So on the 7th of October in 1798, Bass and Flinders set off to find out whether Van Diemen's Land was part of the mainland.
Yes. And they found that it wasn't. So that politically meant that Britain, to keep the French out, had to plant the flag down here as well, because it wasn't part of New South Wales.
Well, they'd always felt that there was no water between the two places, didn't they? It was part of the mainland, and once they put the flag up in where they were, in around Sydney, that was it. They didn't have to worry anymore, but they decided they better go down and check it just to make sure it was an island, whether it was connected to the mainland.
Yeah, because no British navigator had sailed from the west through the strait, and the only person that did would have been Abel Tasman, and then the French would have... I think it was La Perouse, I'm not sure, they actually landed on the west coast of Tasmania.
Yeah, and there's quite a few places in Tasmania that do have French names in them.
Yes.
Doncaster State, that's in South Australia, though, Doncaster State.
L'Astrolabe Bay.
Yeah. There's quite a few French names down in Van Diemen's Land, as it was, but now Tasmania.
We've got a French bakery in Blackburn.
Have you?
Well, that was founded by the French. It's not mentioned in the history of Blackburn, so it's probably not.
No, but they actually set out on the 7th of October 1798, and by January the following year they had completed their circumnavigation of the island, and Governor Hunter, who was the governor of New South Wales, subsequently named the stretch of water between the mainland and Van Diemen's Land as Bass's Strait, and it was later to be known as Bass Strait. But of course Bass gets all the kudos because he was the leader of the expedition, wasn't he?
Yes, and of course there's suspicions about their relationship.
Yeah, there's a suspicion that Bass could have been one of us, actually. Yes, it's never been mentioned, but he never married. And,
And on such a small boat together.
In the Navy.
Yeah, in the Navy. Of course, Flinders was a great cartographer and was able to give us a very good map of Tasmania.
Well, he's actually the first person officially to use the title Australia.
Yes, that's right. Yes, he named the place Australia. Australis, he called it.
But of course, I can imagine on their way down to Tassie, they were singing All About the Bass.
All About the Bass, yes.
Our friend Megan Trainor.
From Megan Trainor, yeah. No, thank you.
And of course, before them, probably the greatest cartographer the world had ever seen, certainly up to that time, of course, was James Cook.
Yes.
And it was during this week that he actually landed in New Zealand. So he not only circumnavigated both islands and has a strait named after him between the two of them.
That's right.
But he actually landed. And
he did a lot of investigation in New Zealand, didn't he?
He did, yes.
He went both North and South Island. He did a lot of investigation, especially amongst the Maori people as well.
Well, the legend has it that he released pigs onto the island. I'm not sure whether that's actually correct, but at some stage, whalers or somebody did release pigs.
Oh, right.
And they spread across the country.
Yeah, and did that would have given them extra food anyhow, wouldn't it?
Well,
just wondering what the pigs did.
Well,
strange way to claim a land.
Yeah. Well, like most creatures that we let out over there, they did damage. We gave them deer, which has done irreparable damage.
And didn't we give them possums?
Yeah, we gave them possums, and we also...
What if they want some cane toads?
I don't think they want cane toads.
And we gave them wallabies as well.
But, of course, Cook was on his way back from visiting Tahiti for the transit of Venus.
Yes.
And then when he left New Zealand, he kept sailing west, and Mr. Howe on his ship sighted the first point of Australia, didn't he?
Now, and the other thing a lot of people don't realise about Cook is that, believe it or not, after all his voyages and that, he suffered seriously from seasickness, mal de mer.
Did he really?
He certainly did, yes. And at the start of a voyage, the first few weeks were hell for him.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a very nice thing to have, is seasickness.
Yeah. But if you ever get some books to read about him, fascinating reading.
Yeah.
And, of course, we've got his cottage here, although he never ever set foot here.
No, but apparently it was his father's cottage, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Must have been very short.
Yeah, well, they're very...
Small cottage.
They're very small cottage, yeah.
Well, people were smaller in those days.
Yeah. But he was, as you say, he was a great cartographer. He was... mapped the whole of the east coast of Australia, didn't he?
Yeah, and he did. He another feat that he did too is before the Battle of Quebec, where the British stormed up the hills and caught the French by surprise and beat them in Canada, he went out and did all the cartography there, mainly at night, getting all the soundings. So not only did he map the coastline and that, but he did the soundings where rocks and that were, so that they could... bring the boats up really close to shore, under the guns of the French up on top.
Yeah. A very clever man, Captain Cook.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, but and came to a very divisive end where you have seen where he died, haven't you?
I've been snorkelling in this little cove in Hawaii, and there's a little white obelisk, probably, and just a little plaque on it saying this is where the cannibals ate Captain Cook.
But he did that because he had an ability to placate locals. I mean, the only whites that had landed, in his first landing, they landed up shooting some Maoris in New Zealand, so he wasn't that popular. But the next time, he actually went ashore himself and was able to calm things down.
Well, I've spent a bit of time in Hawaii, and it would take a lot to upset the Hawaiians today. They might have been a little more angry in previous centuries.
Yeah. They're pretty laid back because of the country where they live, isn't it? That's the weather and
it's
everything.
Too hot to get upset.
Too hot to do anything else, yeah. But it's surprising how these things all happen.
Well, they're part of our history.
Yeah.
You see, the other thing about what Cook being okay is because, A, he was scientific. He understood about how scurvy was caused. He wasn't the only person, but he did something about it. And then it was his teamwork with Joseph Banks, who, although he was a bit of an arrogant pig, but he had scientific...
Allegedly.
He had scientific knowledge, and it was what they... his published work when he went back to Britain that, you know, focused on, you know, because up until that time they'd only discovered the West Coast, and it was, you know,
was only sand dunes in the West,
so they were able to point out, oh no, this Southland we discovered, and they brought stuff back. So,
and of course Bankshires are named after him.
So before we go to some music, I've got a question about Mr. Bass. Was Bass Strait named ironically?
No, I don't think so.
Well, you're saying the Bass was not exactly straight.
Yes. Boom, boom.
So which one's
straight? Well, yes. Bass is Bass Strait, yes. All right.
He's the Pope a Catholic. Let's have some happiness.
Joy. And you're on Joy 94.9. Phil forgot to point to me. It's okay. And you are listening to...
I was going to play one of my little blue buttons.
Oh, right. Been there, done that with Phil, Paul and Gordon. And we're continuing here with a little bit of history, because it was on this day, actual October the 5th in 1582, that Pope Gregory declared that the October the 5th will become October the 15th. So there was 10 days passed over. They were just passed over. They were still there, but they just moved the date to bring the year into a more suitable time frame with the right phases of the moon and the sun and everything.
We're a little more civilized these days. We have leap seconds.
Oh, God,
so the atomic clock can
adjust. Atomic clock tells us what day it is,
But you see, they had to then, because the average people didn't actually bother about dates.
No.
They ran their life according to when spring started or when the rains came.
That's
or when,
right.
When the harvest had done. Yeah. And the problem with the Julian calendar was that there was a creep forward, so that spring would be starting a couple of days earlier each year.
So over time,
you'd have, you know, Christmas had moved from winter to in the Northern Hemisphere to summer.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so they had astronomer Aloysius Lilius, because that year the Julian calendar was slightly long, causing the vernal equinox to slowly advance earlier in the calendar year. And they used the equinoxes as planting times.
Yes.
And that's what that was the main thing for the equinoxes.
We still have creep forwards.
Yes.
Every time I get in a plane flying economy class, I think of all those creeps up forward. It's not fair, I tell you.
Very good. Boom, boom. Yeah. In 1582, the Gregorian calendar was actively adopted for the first time. It required an adjustment to correct 11 accumulated days from the Julian calendar. The day following the Thursday, the 4th of October 1582, was Friday the 15th of October, effective in most Catholic countries such as Italy, Poland, Spain and Portugal. Non-Catholic countries took a fair while to move over to the Gregorian calendar.
It'd be worse than being in a different time zone, wouldn't it?
Well,
we've just had our changeover to daylight saving. Imagine losing 15 days.
But if you're a historian studying documents, first documents of that period, especially, say, British history, right? Well, the Brits didn't change over till 1752, I think,
right,
mid-18th century.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you've got to allow for that dis. So when if you're reading a date, you've got to now realise it's a Julian date, and then you've got to alter it around.
If you're looking for birth dates and things in, like, Wikipedia, they will tell you the actual Julian date of some of them, because the Russians didn't change to the Gregorian calendar until 1927 or somewhere, and they were using the Julian calendar or their own calendar. And if you're looking for somebody's birthday in Russia, they will give you the two dates, the old one was and what the current one is.
Or they use a little italic JL, and that indicates that the date's Julian.
Yeah. It became quite confusing for people that were born in Russia to know what the actual date was in the Gregorian calendar.
I'm confused now.
So you're confused now.
That's
you're
right.
Always confused, Phil.
Well, that helps.
And of course, also too, on the 9th, right, this is the anniversary of something. I can remember at school we always believed the world was going to blow up. There was going to be nuclear war because we were testing bombs for the Brits here. And the last major test was at Maralinga on the 9th of October 1957.
Yeah, we'll come to that in a little while. But on this week, of course, as well, they signed the Outer Space Treaty, where the countries decided that what they would do if they started to explore into outer space.
Yes, which is probably worth the paper it's printed on. And if they find gold or oil in outer space, up goes the treaty.
Yeah, it's true, I suppose. But it's just not a thing that is likely to happen, I don't think.
No, I think 100 years from now, you'll see Coca-Cola presents outer space.
Yes. But then
there'll be a theme park.
Of course, you were mentioning about somebody that's having a birthday this week. Matt Damon. He's in a movie at the moment.
Well, he's just finished the movie on Mars.
About Mars, yes. And he said he reckons he found the water on Mars.
Yes, and asked NASA to keep it quiet until the movie came out.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Think of the free publicity.
Yeah,
that's right. But the Outer Space Treaty was signed by 40... how many countries?
Well, only about half a dozen originally.
Yeah, only about half a dozen originally, but they've gradually come.
I think it's up around about 100 now that have signed.
I haven't signed.
But you see, the treaties are only worth it if everybody agrees to them, don't they?
Yeah, but that's right. But we think about it now, we say, oh, you know, that'll never happen. But if the technology made it, I mean, you've got to look now at the Antarctic Treaty, right? There's suspicions now that some nations are down there secretly drilling for oil
drilling
or whatever.
For oil. But, of course, going into outer space, it was on the October the 7th in 1959 that the Russians photographed the other side of the moon. Intriguing because they always felt that the other side of the moon was dark, but it's not because it does get the sunlight, not quite as much as the front does, the part we see, which is the one side, but the other side of the moon, there's a couple of little dark spots that the sun can't quite get at because they're quite big mountain ranges or something.
That's where they keep the green cheese.
That's where they keep the green cheese, is it?
Yes.
You go off in the sunlight.
Oh, well, it would do, yeah.
I think they put all the lunatics there, don't they?
Oh, we've had a message. Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm really looking forward to hearing all about the topics of today. I must say that Been There, Done That is my favourite program on Joy 94.9. I'm wondering if Phil has any Simpsons references for today's fantastic show. Lots of love to you all. And I know who that's from. It's from Nina. Nina. Thank you. Now, love to you back.
Yes. Nina, I don't have news today on The Simpsons, but Gordon does.
Yes, because it's been announced on the thing that Mr. Smithers.
Yes, Wayland Smithers.
Alan Smithers.
Wayland.
Wayland. See, I don't know these. All I know is Mr. Smithers. Mr. Smithers, in this new series, comes out as being gay. Yes. He has come out of the closet. They've always thought he was gay, but this time he really comes out in this series.
There's been a few little hints. He lives in the gay district of Springfield.
Oh, right.
He's gone on a gay cruise.
Oh, right.
Most of his vacations are something to do with the theatre or other activities.
Oh, right.
I guess the only thing left to say is that he's gay.
Right.
There has never been a doubt.
No, but he does come out in this series.
He's also the president of the Malibu Stacy fan club. Malibu Stacy is a Barbie doll.
Oh, is it? So. Oh, right. I think there's a fair...
So we can possibly say he's as straight as Bass.
Okay. And so, so there we go. The Far Side of the Moon does have light on it, and we don't have to worry about that. But what else have we got lined up now for you? There's one thing. We didn't put this down for discussion, but during this week, Mr. Schweppes invented bubbles in drinks, didn't he, Paul?
Well, yes, he did. There's a bit of a dispute about when it was, because he was born in 1740, yet the sheets on the internet say that he demonstrated his new thing in 1890. Well,
I think there's
he couldn't have been 150 years old.
I think there's a misprint there, but anyhow, but he invented how to carbonate liquids so that they had bubbles in them.
Well, no, they could do that because they were doing it for hundreds of years before with champagne, naturally, right? But he was the first person to do it artificially and then work out how to keep the bubbles in.
Oh,
and you had to have when he worked out that you had to have a bottle that sealed.
Which would seal so that the bubbles wouldn't come out. Oh, right. And what did he use to carbonate it then? Carbon.
Well, yeah, basically, not carbon.
No.
But he would pump carbon dioxide
into it. Yeah, carbon dioxide,
But then he had to keep it in, and so he realised the champagne does it by putting the cork in, so he had to have some form of cork.
Okay. And ever since then, we've been able to have carbonated drinks.
Yes. You still get the ones that you could get in the 19th century. We still get them. You know, they're the ones, the stopper things that have got the metal clip that you flip over.
Oh, yes,
and the glass ball on the
top. Yeah. They did have the glass ball was like a valve.
Mm.
Right, but you still get them. Like if you go and buy clean skin wine, you can get them in those bottles.
Yeah, with a metal clip over the top. Yeah. It certainly those sort of things. You wonder why people bother to do it in the first place. You know why?
I guess water gets boring after a while.
See, you know, we don't realise that technology. We tend to think, oh, things are modern now; they're better than before. You know, it's not that long ago that they found a tin of navy beans, what we now call baked beans, prepared for the troops to go to the Crimea in 1850s, and they opened it, and it was still good. Over 100 years.
Well, because tinning, they virtually seal it so that there's no bacteria can get into it. So if it's done properly, there's no reason why it shouldn't stay okay. The only thing is that when they used to do leading rather than tinning,
that's a whole other problem.
They found out that one of the expeditions to try to find the Northwest Passage, and they all died, and they found one of the bodies, and they found out he was full of lead poisoning.
Yeah, and they also found a body that had the HIV virus there, which they now know that it didn't just suddenly appear, that it obviously was there. And bringing it right back round to our space theme, right? If we wanted to land a man on the moon right now, we couldn't do it.
Why not?
Well, because the technology's gone, right? We'd have to revamp it and redo it all again. Because
I know where there's a Saturn V rocket not being used.
Yeah, all right.
It's lying on its side.
Oh,
in Houston,
is it?
But oh, that's might be hard to get it upright.
Yeah, it's amazing how technology has advanced so quickly since they first flew to the moon then, isn't it, really? Yeah. Because you've got all the different things that you can do with...
Well, we're going to have some music, despite all your technology.
Oh, all right.
And it could well be in reference to Mr. Bass.
Why? What's
it's
that?
It's called One of My Kind.
Oh, all right.
One of us, even.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
And you're with Been There, Done That with Philip, Paul and Gordon, and we've been discussing things that have been happening over the centuries, basically, that have affected us today. And one of the things that we've got to talk about, we mentioned a bit earlier about how it's Lesbian Day on the 8th of October, and everybody on Lesbos would be called a lesbian. And we had an interesting message just come through. Interestingly, Lesbos and other Greek islands are trying to allow gay couples to marry in the future. With this new Greek leader, he's trying to pass legislation for marriage outside the conservative Greek church. Watch this space in the future. And it's a great for tourism and a perfect setting for a wedding. Yes, it's I've only ever seen photos of Lesbos and the Greek islands. They really do look quite amazing places.
Yeah, well, did you see that series that Joanna Lumley did?
Oh, yeah.
That was brilliant.
She's done some brilliant bits and pieces on the television lately, and she does a lot of work, and it was interesting. Yeah. They had the Gurkhas on the tattoo the other night.
Yes.
When they came on, I thought of her because she was the one that did all the work to make sure that the Gurkhas were recognised as part of the military of the British Empire.
Well, I've got a lot of respect for her because she's prepared to stand up for what she believes. She doesn't say, oh, I'd better not say that, I might lose popularity or whatever.
That's right, yeah. She's very good. But let's get back to some of the things that happened here in Melbourne. On October the 6th in 1862, Australia's first zoo was opened here in Melbourne. So that's been around for a long time. What's that, 1862? What's 150-odd years, isn't it? Over 150 years? 1862?
1862, yes.
Yeah. So
but it wasn't much when it opened. It was just a few ragged monkeys.
Yeah. But it was opened by Albert Le Sueff. He was the director in 1870. He began to acquire a wider variety of exotic animals such as black bears, lions and tigers. And as the zoo gained in popularity, the gardens were extended, more animals added. And in 1881, an entry fee was introduced. And once elephants were added to the display, elephant rides were even ordered for the patrons. So there you go. Now, I have an interesting thing about Mr. Le Sueff, because his grandson, actually, I had to wait until the end of the war in 1945 for him to come home from being a prisoner of war, because he could cure me from the thing that was, I had a complaint that lasted from the time I was born until the time I was 10.
So you were lucky that your complaint lasted.
Yes, yeah. Well, they used to come back every 6 months and I'd be in hospital. It was bloody terrible. That's why I can't stand the smell of ether anymore. But Dr. Le Sueff, he was, and his father actually started the Perth Museum.
The zoo.
Yeah,
that's
Perth Zoo.
Twice today.
Yeah, so the Le Sueffs have been...
The zoo's where they're alive. The museum's where they're stuffed.
Yeah, so
I thought that was a farm. When they get really old, they go off to the farm.
Yeah, so Melbourne Zoo's been around for a long, long time, and it's changed.
We've got fresh animals, though.
Yeah,
they're not the originals.
And it changes constantly, and they're trying to make it a lot more...
They do a lot of scientific work now, too, about
and
breeding.
They have breeding programs and everything, too. And, of course, then they've got the zoo down at Werribee
Park.
Werribee.
And the Healesville Sanctuary.
The Healesville Sanctuary.
Related.
And, of course, you've still got to be careful because, as they know, at the Hamilton Zoo in New Zealand a couple of weeks ago, a keeper there was killed by a tiger.
Was he?
She.
Oh, she. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I must have missed that in the news for some reason.
And on the 7th, too, something else started a chain of events that lasted a couple of months that affected us a lot, and that's when the miner James Scobie was killed outside the hotel, and the first inquest found that the hotel owners and staff and that were not responsible. But the miners rioted, and then when they had another inquest, of course, the hotel and that, they were found obviously guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, because they sent troops up there, and the miners in those days had to pay 30 shillings a month. Now, you can work that out.
That's a lot of money in those days.
A lot of money in those days. And, of course, they were the troops. And a lot of the troopers were prisoners that were let out of jail and put a uniform on, and so they'd belt the miners up. And so they formed the Eureka League, and of course we know that that led to the Eureka Stockade.
Yeah.
But the important thing about that was that that led to real change in Victoria, because Lawler and some of the others, of course, were elected into Parliament, and that really established the preeminence of the lower house of Parliament, the elected house, over, as it was at that time, the appointed upper house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Eureka thing basically changed the whole of Victoria. It just wasn't the bit of Ballarat,
right,
was it? Yeah. The miners they didn't want to pay their...
No, and they got the miners' right, and the miners' right was 5 shillings for the year, and it lasted that long, I'm not sure, but when I got my first miners' right in the 60s, it was still 5 shillings for the year.
I can remember selling gold detectors in the 70s. And they were still selling miners' rights for 5 shillings.
Yeah, I've been meaning to get another miners' right, I wonder whether they're still 50 cents.
When they bought the gold detectors, we'd sort of say, now, don't forget to get your miners' rights to go with this, because if you don't and you get caught, you might get fined.
Yeah.
And I said, it's not going to cost you anything more than about 5 shillings, you know. So.
And they might take all your gold.
Well, they could, and they found a lot of gold with those gold detectors, of course, as well, you know, which is... amazing stuff that's still all out there. There's still a hell of a lot of gold in Victoria that could be found.
But, of course, in those days, it was illegal to sell or deal in gold other than through the Crown.
Yeah, that's true too. And it's just about... Oh, golly, look at the time. It's time for us to get a move on. Get out of here, isn't it?
Do we want to have a quick tune and then come back and say goodbye?
Oh, if you like that.
Or you keep talking up until our next...
Oh, no, we'll have a quick tune because we've just about run out of all the things we had to say, except for the atom bomb blast in Maralinga, which we did mention a bit earlier.
But, yes.
They were letting off in October the 9th, first of the major British atomic bomb blasts were conducted in South Australia at Maralinga after they had bombed...
Coincidentally, the tune we're going to hear is Pop Goes the World.
Oh, well done.
That's a bit unfortunate.
What a great segue, eh?
I don't hear any popping. Some thumping.
It'll pop.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
Look at the time. It's just time for us to be out of here, Paul.
Yes.
I hope you've enjoyed yourself here doing Been There, Done That.
Yes, I have.
It's been a very interesting morning. We've had Tristan sitting over there roaring with laughter at all the silly things we've been saying.
We don't say silly things.
Don't we?
We say perfectly sensible things that people think are silly.
Oh, right. Yeah. And we'll probably have David back next week. I would think he's hopefully finished jury duty, unless he gets a long, long, long trial.
Or found guilty.
Be very good.
He might be found guilty.
Yeah, okay. And Phil, you'll be back next week. Now you're feeling a lot better.
I'm feeling upright.
You're feeling upright?
Yes.
Good. As long as you're upright, that's the main thing. And we'll be back with some more of this nonsense and carry on next week.
Or don't forget to tune in at 7 o'clock next Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, you can hear the pair of us again on Sunday morning.
Like cross promotions.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I'll be here on Wednesday. I've got a big program lined up on Wednesday, huge one.
And I'll be on the front desk on Wednesday. So
good, I'm glad
you're here. Feel free to SMS and phone in.
I did miss you last Wednesday because I needed you desperately here last Wednesday.
Well, have a talk to my spine.
All right.
I was just going to say, never mind, you'll reload and shoot again.
Yes, that's right. <yeah. laughs> All right, well, it's about time for us to get out of here because coming up out next are Joe and B with the afternoon program. So we'll say bye for now and we'll see you next week. Bye all.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.